AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What's going on, guys? What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio, or welcome back for the first time to a new thing we're doing. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Austin and Angelo. Blast from the past, if you've been listening to us from day one. Also here is Adam, who was...
Decided to appear.
Austin found out how to get in the soundboard, and so did I, but that's... All the sounds you're hearing actually are not Angelo. So what are we doing here? So this is the new spinoff we're going to periodically be rolling out when we can't think of anything else to do with the mainline episodes. Basically, we want to branch out into more content, and this is No Reserves Pop Culture. We've tried a couple things, but hey, Angelo, what's our worst performing episode of all time? Go.
Basketball one.
It was not basketball one.
Football?
No.
It was not football.
It was not football. What was the worst performing episode in No Reserve spinoff attempt history? Go.
Austin and Ren doing an episode by themselves technically right now.
Right now, because that's the most recent episode. It's the wrestling episode. I wanted to dunk on wrestling real quick. Wrestling episodes, because you did three, didn't you?
No, I only did one.
I swear you did at least two.
I might have done, I don't know.
I think you That's did at okay, least two. I think three.
Alex did feel it.
Wrestling fans believe, so that'll be the most viewed episode.
So what is this? So this is No Reserves Pop Culture. We're going to kind of expand into gaming, movies, books, TV shows, whatever. And we're doing this kind of as a repilot, where we're going to try this, see how it flows, learn from it, and then go from here. Because this is going to be a thing regardless. It's not going to be a scheduled thing. We're not going to say, hey, every Wednesday at 6 a.m. we're releasing an episode. So don't think that's what I'm saying when I'm saying this is a new thing. What this is going to be is periodically we're going to have something we want to talk about, and we're going to talk about it. And if you have notifications enabled, which you should, you'll have this pop up on your feed, and you can come join us in a curiosity voyage. That's what we're going to call it. This first episode, it should be in the title, unless Angelo's bad at his job, which he is. We're going to be talking about the show Game of Thrones and the accompanying books, A Song of Ice and Fire, because we are nerds at our core. That's what started all this. So before we get into it, Adam, what have you been up to? Because if you're a long-term listener of No Reserves, the first few episodes that we deleted because the sound quality was horrible, Adam was Angelo and I's co-host when we launched this little experiment.
Expansion.
So what has been going on in the realm of Adam? So I can take a breather, because Austin and Angelo both have their fucking mics muted. By the way,
Adam, of course they do.
We have expanded. We are now a mature channel. You can cuss.
Oh, fine. I can actually speak normally and not have to worry about what I'm saying? Well, to an extent.
Carolina normal.
To an extent.
Normal.
Yes. You know what I mean. Like, I don't have to worry about saying, well, this fucking happened. Like,
we do try to keep the F-bomb to a limit, not because, like, if you say it once, you say it once, but just because
I'm not trying to go full Negan on.
Well, it's a boring word. It is a boring word, and the product we sell is audio content. I'm really concerned about the fact that Angelo has not muted his mic. I think the point he's proving has come to fruition. Actually, go ahead, Adam. What have you been up to?
Honestly, nothing. Just been hanging out, met girl. Been hanging out with her and playing Valorant.
That's fun.
Nothing spectacular.
Nothing's
been. I have recently reread the Game of Thrones book, so
that's
hopefully important. That'll help me. Hopefully that'll help me with today's episode.
So we're gonna again, if you've been listening for a while, you know that we have to do segmented episodes where we would basically have a couple things we wanted to talk about, and we broke it up into quarters of episodes. We've since gone away from that because our content kind of works better as we just free flow one idea for 45 minutes to 2 hours to 4 hours, depending on some of the football episodes have gone pretty long. We're going to try to rescind that back to the mean and do a little bit of structured chaos. I don't necessarily know how much preparation has gone into this. Again, this is going to kind of be a pilot episode.
I've been preparing my whole life for this.
No, you have not.
This one moment.
You haven't even.
One moment where I can bash on everything. Everyone that destroyed everything I love.
Don't miss your chance to glow.
So, again, this is going to be a pilot. So expect some rough edges as we figure out this. All right, this isn't going to be, like, I'm not going to sit here and say our football or basketball episodes are crisp and clean all the time. Angelo complains all the time about the pauses in between Austin and I's talking.
That was only when you two had to do an episode by yourselves. It was so, I swear to God, I edited out 10 minutes. 10 minutes, Ren, of half an episode.
Dude, that sounds like our early episodes when I was editing. So like, there's just so many pauses.
The problem is, I don't think we actually do it as much as you think. Like, I'm not saying it's not in the edit. No. Let me talk. Let me finish. Because, like...
I'm sorry, I expected a pause so that I could talk in between the pause. Go on, sorry.
Because you have to remember, like, Austin has his mic muted now, so when I stop talking, wait for Austin to unmute his mic and then start talking. So the more I've thought about it, I think that's more of what it is. Also, we have already derailed this goddamn episode. I hate you so much.
Well.
You got nothing to say? You got nothing to say?
I mean, it's true. I did completely derail the episode already, okay. So it's all good.
So let's start. Because like I said, this is going to be kind of about both the books and the show. Okay? And I'd have no idea how long this be. You can click on the little soundbar and see. Who knows? This could
be. Yeah, you guys know how long this is a lot more than we do.
So
3 hours.
I swear to God, it better not be 3 hours.
I'm feeling at least like an hour and 12 minutes. That's what my guess.
An hour. That was oddly specific.
It was.
Because, you know, we are recording this. If you listen to our episode on Sunday morning, we are recording this literally 10 minutes after we finish recording that. Why are we doing that? I don't know. We could have recorded this tomorrow, but hey, you're getting Ren with a lot more alcohol. Also, is my mic really not picking up right now?
You cut out just a little bit right there, but
that
not...
was really, yeah, that was really odd. Like, it gave me the alert. Hold on. I just leaned away from my mic. That was the problem. So, obviously, big fans of Game of Thrones, right? I think we all agree. Fantastic, fantastic overall TV series.
To an extent, yes.
Ratings have it consistently in, like, the top...
Well, yeah.
A lot of ratings have it as the number one series.
Yeah, it's one of the best rated TV shows of all time. I'll give you that, yes.
I think that rating is justified up until the end. And we'll talk about that because that's kind of the first segment I want to talk about. Do you think, and this topic is going to be not exactly a hot button issue in this group, I just realized. Do you think to an extent, hey, Angelo figured out how to change his status. Do you think the last seeding season gets more flack than it deserves? And what I mean by that is, was it as bad as we remember it to be as fans of the series? And I'm going to be honest, I don't necessarily know if I could say that. I'll let you guys talk because I have done so much fucking talking in this episode so far, and like someone else take over now.
Yeah, Angel.
So here's the thing. I don't think it gets enough flack. I think it's worse than we remember it. I think that just about every character I can remember, other than maybe Theon Greyjoy and Brienne of Tarth, got absolutely butchered in this season. Ooh. I think the idea that the first two or three episodes were good is like it's Stockholm syndrome because the last episodes were so bad it made those episodes look good.
So my quick rebuttal to that before you get into it. Mm-hmm. Do you think part of that could be because the last episode absolutely is the worst of the series and nobody will argue that. The question I'm asking, I guess then is the rest of the season on par with that? Because I don't think it is. I think the rest of the season in a vacuum is solid. It's probably the worst season of the show. If you even look at it just in that vacuum,
probably. You can't even get that definitively. It is definitively the worst of the show.
Those first three episodes carry.
First two.
Okay, what happened? Okay, but what happened before the first three episodes started? We watched the character assassination of Littlefinger and the literal assassination of
Angela, I know we're doing a pilot again, but remember that when you yell, it cuts out the mic and it doesn't cut out.
I'm sorry, but this shit pisses me off that you're sitting out here and defending the shit that they gave us and saying that it could be better.
No, I'm not defending it. What I'm saying is it, again, break it up into segments. The last episode, absolutely the worst in the series. The second episode, or the second to last episode, absolutely the second to worst episode. Last, you get what I'm saying. Those are quantifiably the worst episodes in the series, 110%. I'm saying, is the rest of the season really that bad? I'm not saying it's good, but is it that bad? Is it on par with those?
Because here's my thing, is that going with Angela's character assassination, is the whole season is nothing but character assassinations. But if you go from Jamie, 100%. His complete redemption arc has just been slain. Running back to Cersei. I'm going to bring up a point Angela brought up the other day. Why did they have the Maggie the Frog prophecy in the show if it wasn't going to make any damn sense?
Okay, so I will say, in context of that, I blame George R.R. Martin.
Because, come on.
No, let me, can I talk? I'm going to talk. Okay, so what I mean by that is there is a sharp drop-off in terms of the political intrigue, the witty one-liners, the dialogue in general, right? From when they ran out of content. Like, Tyrion Lannister goes from an absolute, like, demon with his one-liners. Like, you feel like he's actually threatening and he's just talking to you. To he's an idiot because they don't know how to write his character. So you have a show, right? And we're asking about the prophecies. And I totally agree with that. Like, the prince that was promised, it doesn't matter. Quaithe doesn't matter. None of the prophecies on the show matter. But the reason why they don't matter is because the showrunners don't know how those prophecies are supposed to play out. And being pragmatic, he told them how certain things played out. But the prophecies lose their powers because prophecy is not always like everything's going to happen exactly as it is, right? Like, we don't know if, like, when if in George R. R. Martin's books, if Cersei goes or Jaime goes back to Cersei at the end, right? If that happens, it's going to make more sense because we're going to have the context of that prophecy and we're going to have the context of a lot more information, including the introspective thoughts of Jaime and Cersei.
Okay, so but let's say those, for go ahead. I'll let you
could finish. Those prophecies play out and still get the same result? Absolutely, because prophecy is not 100% descript in the world of Ice and Fire.
So, okay, but here's my thing, is that you could have Jaime running back to Cersei if you want. I think that's a character assassination and fucks up his whole arc.
I don't
if you want to have that prophecy in the show make any sense, and I'm specifically saying the show, if you want them to die together being squished, we've already shown the neck in the little like map they have on the floor. Have them get squished on the neck and have Jaime get squish Cersei trying to protect her. That would be the younger brother getting the air, or taking the air out. I can't remember the prophecy off the top of my head at the moment, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, it would give something, but no, they just hit in a basement, a random...
So, like when we talk about Jamie, like, because now we're switching back to Jamie, and that's fine. Like, I feel like this episode's going to be all over the place. And keep in mind, I'm trying to play devil's advocate, because if we all just agree, oh yeah, the season sucks, like, that episode's over, see y'all later.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll disagree on some things, but yeah.
So, like, when we talk about Jamie and how unrealistic it is that he goes back to Cersei, okay?
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Like, you see it time and time again with, like, character, like, going to different franchises. So, I'm trying to think of one. So, in Marvel, the Civil War, Captain America, Tony Stark, they hate each other, blah, 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 and then, oh, they see each other, oh, we're best friends again. That feels unrealistic, right? But you see it time and time again in real life with friends, and they've been friends for years or decades or whatever, and they come to a point of contention, and they fight, and they fight, and they fight, and it takes so much to break it. It doesn't take that much to get it back to where it was, because you have, in this case, decades of a relationship, which is Jamie and Cersei. Like, they've literally been together their entire lives. They have all of this. They have that contention, that bitter moment where they hate each other, and then they're away for a couple months, a year, whatever the case may be. It doesn't take that much to realize, okay, that person matters to me, or that person is a friend, or whatever. And they're immediately right back to that, because they have decades of that. They only have a couple months to a year of despising each other or whatever. So,
and
I don't
have good experience of that. But
yeah, so I don't think that that is a fair, like, I don't think it's, you can't call Jaime going back to Cersei a character assassination.
It is.
Because that was Jaime's life for his entire life.
Here's why.
Okay, go for it.
So I understand what you're saying, and I'm pretty sure you just gave a better explanation of it than the showrunners ever thought of.
Oh, absolutely.
But at the same time, you can blame George R. R. Martin, because they don't have the end of the script. They got 2/3 of the script and they don't have the ending. But at the same time, the reason that everything moved so fast is because they decided to make the final episode 6 episodes, Ren. Go ahead.
Final season. You said final episode. Or final six episodes
season.
Long.
Sorry. Final season 6 episodes. So they could have had time to explain this and develop this plot. And they didn't. Is 100% on them. And that is why I'm saying I'm annoyed that you're defending this garbage that they gave us, because they intentionally gave us garbage. You can say it.
No, they did, because they got offered that Disney money to go make Star Wars, and then they got dropped from the project because of the backlash to the final season of Game of Thrones. Again, what I'm saying is not the season's good. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying, in a vacuum, those first 3 episodes, yeah, they might not be good Game of Thrones episodes, but they're good TV. Like,
can you name more than 3 moments that you like?
In the 3 episodes, all 3.
In the 3 episodes. So, it's hard because, like, and before you start yelling and interrupting, it's hard because, like, those 3 episodes I kind of transpose across to, like, one thing. So, like,
exactly.
something that I'm thinking could have happened in episode 1, it happened in episode 2, whatever.
Because here's the only thing I remember that I like.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. I'm talking. You ask me a question, I'm answering.
Try to limit the F word.
Theon's redemption scene, I think that regardless of anything, that was a good scene. That was a great scene.
That was episode 4.
Was that episode 4?
That was the end of the long night. Yes. That was the long night episode.
Yes, because it's immediately ruined by the fact that Arya, which I love the fact that she's the one that kills the Night King, but it's immediately ruined by the fact that Arya just magically kills the Night King out of nowhere.
Okay, so I'm just thinking, like, off the top of my head. So, the whole Podrick singing scene, like, where it's jumping through all the characters, like, that was a really, that, like... That
was
a really
good
scene.
TV. Yes.
The sense of dread, even though it's stupid, when the Kalasar rides out to meet the army of the dead and you just see the torches one by one going out, like, that was kind of terrifying. And, like, when it first released that Sunday night, you tune in at 9 p.m. and you just see the torches go out. Go for it.
Well, it was super
terrifying
dark
in the moment, but then we see them again with no explanations, like, two episodes later.
We don't see all of them.
But how did they survive? I mean, we know Jorah survived. Well, we know some of them had to survive. No, Jorah survived the trip back, didn't he?
Yeah, he's the one of the ones that comes back.
Yeah, so some of the Kalasar had to come back with him.
And even then, like, her blood riders or whatever weren't going to ride out. Like, it's safe to assume that not everyone.
Secret Service, even the president.
Yeah. It's safe to assume not everyone rode out to meet the army. Like, that, you can easily suspend your disbelief that not everyone got sent on the suicide mission.
But
that's goddamn easy to do.
I can't see my disbelief, though, of, like, he's saying, I think it was, like, episode 6 when they're talking to Cersei and she has, like, 10,000 left.
Well, that, I mean, that's the Crownlands. Like, the Crownlands are, at that point, still the most populated region because everywhere else has been fucked by the War of the Five Kings. The Lyanna Mormont death scene was really cool. Like, just badass start to finish. Bella Ramsey is a national treasure at this point.
Yes, that's like, what I was about to say.
If you haven't watched The Last of Us, go watch it.
That's what I was just about to say. Her portrayal of Ellie in that, I hated the casting when I saw her and Pedro. I was like, this is the worst casting I've ever seen. But they both nailed it. Yes,
they
both
nailed
it.
So, character assassination. So who do we think, whose character got assassinated?
Oh, you want me to start this? Okay.
Let's go.
Jamie? Jamie.
Okay, I already explained. I already explained. Hold on. I already explained Jamie. Do it one at a time. I want to be able to... Daenerys. So, here's the thing.
No.
Daenerys did not get character assassinated. Daenerys got character brought back to the goddamn fucking books. Because
basically how she is in the books.
Here's the thing, though. I think in another world, you could have made the portrayal of Daenerys in the early seasons to her transformation to the Mad Queen better than in the books.
Hold on. I've realized no. So the problem is Daenerys's character arc in the books. So yes, you get the scenes where you're kind of questioning her thematically, and you'll notice this if you read the books. A lot of Cersei chapters are followed by Daenerys chapters and vice versa. It is, you're supposed to kind of have a juxtaposition because Daenerys and Cersei are the same fucking character. They are the same character. The problem is you're kind of spoon-fed Daenerys's sociopathy, whereas Cersei, it hits you over the head with a hammer. And the whole point of it, I feel like, at least, just I would love to have a conversation with George R. R. Martin, is you're supposed to subtly question your own morals when you're kind of agreeing with Cersei or when you're agreeing with Daenerys for the same shit that you're saying Cersei's evil for, because Daenerys is doing the exact same shit. The show fucked up because they didn't do it subtly. Like, it wasn't like Dany is subtly a sociopath. It was Dany is Dragon Jesus until she's not. That's where they screwed
like
up.
It felt more like a teenage girl, like she lost her love because John didn't want to be with her. And she's just like, okay, nah, I'm going to kill her right now. Like, it was like a complete snap.
And I understand that. And I still think that if they would have given the transformation time, it would have been a better story than what the books did.
But it's harder to do. And like, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's a lot harder to do in a show as a medium versus a book, because in the book you are seeing it through Dany's eyes. You're getting those introspective thoughts. You have those subtle moments where, like, suddenly she doesn't remember. I forget which book it is. I think it's book four. No, it's book five. It's book five. It's Dance of Dragons. Where she is thinking and she doesn't remember the name of the girl that Drogon ate, and she doesn't care. And she's just subtly becoming more and more. I don't think madness is the key. I think the Targaryen madness in the books is overstated. Like, obviously you have people like Baelor the Blessed or Ares who are just fucking nuts. But I don't think, like, every Targaryen, like, I don't think that you flip a coin. I think some of them are just a little different and you just deal with it. And I think it's more a dissociative personality. And I think you see that more with Daenerys in the books than you do in the show, because again, if you were reading the books, and I'm going to challenge you, go read the books, but block out all of Dany's own thoughts. You get the same Dragon Jesus message. You're not seeing, like, why does she go to Astapor? She's going to commit crimes in Astapor regardless. Like, you know that's going to happen, and she knows that's going to happen, and she's just like, okay. And then she goes, and she pretends she can't understand what everyone's saying because she's playing a game with them. She's using them.
And you got to realize, though, is that she's also... that everybody in history throughout, whether it be Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot, you know, you can name millions of people. All of them thought that what they was doing was for the good. And that's what Dany was thinking. She was doing it for the good of somebody.
But when we say that her character got assassinated, no, her character went to what it was supposed to be. It's just, it wasn't subtle because we didn't see the thoughts. You can see Daenerys slowly going down a path where she's doing more and more and more ethical things. And the purpose of her character is to be compared to Cersei. Because again, you're supposed to get to a point where she's going to do something unacceptable. Like, because the things she's done have been questionable or morally objectable, but she hasn't done anything that you would necessarily say, okay, that's straight up evil.
No, the most evil thing in the show, I think, was when she burned, what's his name alive? Sam's dad.
No, Randall. The most evil thing she did in the show was burnt King's Landing.
Well, but, I meant before that point.
To that point, I mean... okay, so I'm gonna say something, and I have to, like, preface it with a few things. So, when I'm saying this, I'm talking purely within the universe of A Song of Ice and Fire. Real-world counterparts are not related. I'm...
Slavery.
Slavery. Slavery is absolutely evil, disgusting, horrible. It does not belong in society.
Agreed.
In A Song of Ice and Fire... it is part of some of their cultures. And Daenerys essentially destroys an entire society of people and then just dips and leaves them to poverty, famine.
And for the slaves to come right back in.
Nothing changes except now you've created mass starvation and death and destruction.
Which is then going to lead to more slavery because people are going to sell themselves off to get money for their family.
So, like, we have this weird thing that's happening where she's doing things that we, in our black and white world, we say slavery is bad, and it is. And, you know, she kills the slavers and we're supposed to be like, haha, yes, she freed the people. And that's in our black and white world where, yes, we know slavery is bad. Slavers should be destroyed. That's not necessarily the case in a high fantasy series where it's part of it. I need to preface this. I'm not saying slavery good.
So slavery is a gray area in the Song of Ice and Fire world is what you're trying to say.
I mean, in the Song of Ice and Fire world, it is part of the culture.
So I'm saying it's a gray area because some view it as an evil and some view it as a necessary good.
So it's like she does these little things that are quantifiably within the A Song of Ice and Fire universe evil. And we
are crucifying all the slavers. Yeah.
And that's kind of the eye for an eye thing. It doesn't really track in reality. So the whole point, like I said, is to compare those two characters and then say, okay, well, Danny Dragon Jesus, it's okay. Cersei, evil, bad woman, not okay. Even though, to an extent, like, Daenerys has done a lot of worse shit than Cersei. Like, even in the show.
Worse?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
She burns people alive.
Yeah, look what she did to the Khalasar. Like, when they just wanted her to go live with the old crones, or I think that's what they was called.
Yeah,
but I think they're called the crones. Yeah, she just wanted to, they just wanted to go live with them, and she was like, no, I'm going to burn you alive and take all your people.
Or, like, she the did. Locking people that betray her in a vault to starve to death slowly. Like, she's done some morally questionable things.
I'm just curious if something Daenerys has done is worse than the blowing up of the Sept of Baelor with wildfire.
To that point, no. But Daenerys blew up a lot more than the Sept of Baelor.
Yeah, no.
That's the point, is she capable of it? And that's what the show does a bad job of showing, is the people we think are good are not necessarily good, the people we think are bad are not necessarily bad, because Cersei has some really good moments, too.
I know we got told about the Mad King a lot in the books. And so we got to see, you know, what really happened with Jaime, and we got to see how he really was turning and changing. And in the show, we get a couple mentions of him and one flashback. So I think that really didn't set up how evil they could truly be.
And I think it does. Like I said, I think the Targaryen madness is grossly overstated. I don't think, if you were to break it down, like, out of 100 Targaryens, like, 99 like of them would be normal. They might be a little loopy, but not, like, mad.
Well, that's because where they come from. And keeping the bloodline pure.
In the massive incest, yeah.
Yeah.
They are from the Alabama of Westeros. So, no, I don't think that's a character assassination. I just think it was a poor... Like, I think that's where Daenerys goes in the books. Because, you compare it to Faegon and Jon.
My problem isn't that they got to the destination. My problem is the speed at which they switched it. Because, like you said, it was she was Dragon Jesus until she wasn't.
But
I think you could have done better at making it progressive.
See, Rin's point.
But they needed to do that from the beginning. That's not a season 8 problem.
Yeah, that's what Rin was saying.
Like, because she has to get to that point. That has to happen. The fact that they fucked it up early because they wanted Dragon Jesus and they wanted the marginally racist moment of all the people from the Slaver's Bay holding up the white blonde woman and yelling
her
mother. Like, they wanted that, and that's what everyone got. And, like, you can go through, like, if you go to, like, baby names, like, people are naming their kids Daenerys, and it's, like,
or Khaleesi.
Khaleesi doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a character assassination. I think that's just they fucked up early on and they never rectified it. So I think that's where she goes in the books, because if you've not read the books, if you're not a reader, Song of Ice and Fire, which is the book series that Game of Thrones is based on, not done. It's only on book 5 of 7.
And if you haven't read the books, go read them now. If you don't like reading, go on Audible or somewhere.
Don't read them. Do not read them. Do not waste your goddamn time, because you are going to be so depressed when you realize the next two are never coming out.
Or go on Audible and listen to them.
John. Who's the next character assassination?
John.
So, that one's tough. I don't think that's a character assassination, because John is the same character he is the whole time. He doesn't want it. Like, I know we mean that. I don't want it. But like, that's John the whole time. That is John the whole time.
Here's the thing. One, no, it's not. Because if you go to, I'm not sure if it's the previous seasons. I think it is. The previous season, season 7, where Daenerys touched down on Dragonstone. And the first meeting with Daenerys and John.
Yeah.
And John was very defiant and very accepting of the role that he was given, which was King of the North.
King of the North, but that was also because Sansa didn't like Daenerys and didn't trust her. Remember, they had a conversation before he left to Dragonstone.
Right, but we would see in later seasons, just because Sansa doesn't like it doesn't mean John is going to agree with it. And that's my problem. He went from making decisions and being a character who drove decisions to McQueen.
But McQueen. So, but is that McQueen. So again, who is Jon Snow's father?
Rhaegar Targaryen.
Do not say Rhaegar Targaryen. Who is Jon Snow's father?
Ned Stark.
Ned Stark. You're telling me it's out of character for someone to be like, okay, this war is ravaging the land. We've got to come together because we know what's beyond the wall. We know what's coming. We have to unify. Okay, everyone wants me to lead. I'm going to lead. Okay, holy shit. This person's actually got the birthright of the Seven Kingdoms, and she's got dragons. Okay, it's you.
Well, again, and that's also he's listening to Sansa, who is his sister that he's grew up with. Whether that's actually his sister or not, he views her as his sister. But so he's going to take her advice to heart.
Like half the decisions Jon made in season 7 and 8.
He doesn't.
That was after. That was after he saw.
And then he spends time with Daenerys and thinks she'll be a good queen.
Yeah.
And so he's like, this is better for the realm. Because again, Ned Stark was an honorable man. What is good for the realm? Daenerys gives them a weapon in dragons that they otherwise don't have. She can bring peace to the world through, you know, fire, you know, the conquest all over again, because who's going to fuck with a dragon?
Dorne.
So you're saying he had to be my queen the whole time?
I don't think he had to be my queen. I think he just, he realized she, in his viewpoint, he thought she was the best choice because he never thought he was a good choice. He went with it because everyone wanted him to. Then he thought, okay, Daenerys is the best choice. She's the blood of the dragon. You know, Targaryens kind of were here for a while.
And he realizes this at closer to the end.
Right.
Like before they take King's Landing.
But
and he's
again,
still my queen.
Because what did I just say? Jon does not think he is worthy of that. Nothing, like, at no point in time does Jon think Jon Snow is the best leader for the free world. If you want to bring up another point about character assassination, totally. Jon thinking Jon isn't worthy of it is not character assassination.
Yeah,
that's Jon to season one. That's Catelyn Stark's.
Yeah, he didn't think he was worthy of Winterfell, so he ran to the wall.
Like, that's not an assassination of character. That's him being like, oh shit, there's someone that's better than me? All right, see you later. I don't want
like, it's exactly what Ned would do.
When did he stop this? When did Jon take a backseat? Jon literally started from the Night's Watch, from basically nothing, to the Lord of the Night's Watch.
Okay.
To the Lord of Winterfell.
Hold on. Time. We don't know about that yet, so I'm gonna hold off on that.
Yeah.
Right.
When the Night Watch. When the Night's Watch election is happening, because they have a democracy, does he not think he shouldn't have it? I'm pretty sure he thinks it should be Beau and Marsh.
Let's be honest. Also, there's also a confusion on whether Aegon might have tampered with it.
The election, Jesus Christ, there's...
Aegon was the final vote.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. There's a thing that... I can't remember if it's him
Aemon.
Yeah, Aemon. My bad. Aemon was the final vote, and there's a thing he might have tampered with the vote to make Jon win. That's a theory that's been going around for years. But we don't know until the next book comes out, so all we've got is the show to go by.
I just don't think going from nothing to head of the Night's Watch, and this is in the show.
But again,
to head of Winterfell, beating out Sansa Stark from your people, because noticed he didn't say I didn't want it when it was Sansa or him. He let the people decide. To my queen. I'm sorry. I you can't. That's not a sell for me.
What would Ned have done in the same situation?
What would Eddard Stark have done in the exact same situation?
Knowing everything that Jon knew up to that point?
Yes. If it was literally swap Jon and Eddard, they had the same life. What would a dard do? The same, exact same thing is the answer.
So, listen. Eddard and Robert is not Jon and Daenerys, especially in the show.
Okay. But let's go back.
I think Eddard would have made the North, what Sansa basically did. I think Eddard would have made the North its own nation.
So, no, abso-fucking-lutely not. Because what happens when the war first breaks out? When the question of Joffrey's legitimacy as the heir to the throne, when...
He makes Stannis...
Right. Right. The least likely person, the least powerful person. Why does he do that?
Because he was the heir.
Because he's the heir. Because he's going to follow the rightful king. Now...
He didn't... But here's the thing. He didn't follow Aerys Targaryen. And that's the thing.
So the
world is in a different state than when Ned was alive. A much different state.
But it's a question about duty. It's a question about duty and honor. And Eddard and Jon.
Why? He didn't follow the Mad King's orders? Because if you don't remember, they burned his brother alive and made his father alive and made his brother watch.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have listened to the orders either, even if I was the most honorable man on earth.
I wonder.
I'm just saying.
But it kind of is paralleled because if I recall correctly, again, I haven't read the books in a little bit. They were debating whether it should be Eddard or Robert to make the claim, and Robert's Baratheon blood traces back to Targaryen. So they're like, well, you technically have. So again, it was, should it be Eddard? Oh no, there's a better claimant. John had that moment too. Oh, I'm a Targaryen. I'm heir to the Seven Kingdoms. I'm king in the North. Oh, here's someone with a better claim than me. And she has dragons.
And an army.
And an army. And again,
she probably should.
I'm more concerned about the Night King than I am about ruling in King's Landing. What's going to give me a better chance of fighting that? Oh, yeah. Daenerys. So he bows to her.
I understand why he sided with Daenerys. But I don't get is why he was a pussy basically from
the because end he of is the whole time.
Oh my god, no.
It's Angelo, what is the most memed part of the fucking show?
Nothing, Jon Snow.
You know nothing, Jon Snow. It's a fucking meme. The whole point is John is kind of dumb. The entire time, through the books and the show, John is kind of dumb.
Now, I do have another character assassination that's not really a character. But what about Dorne?
I mean, Dorne just kind of got shafted.
That's not an assassination. That's like King's
Landing. That's what I was saying. That's not an assassination. That's kind of out of racing.
I mean, it kind of just didn't, like, it really didn't serve a purpose. Like, from a book standpoint, like, the whole political intrigue in Dorne with the Sand Snakes.
It's filler.
But again, it's filler, but it's important to the political side of the books, which is not the show.
They decided that they didn't care about that at all. Quite honestly,
they just decided they didn't care about Dorne and Arianne or none of them.
I think the Dorne plot in the show actually was really good. Was it as good as the books? No, but, like, the whole, like...
Good. All right, did we watch the same TV show?
You didn't.
Like, even not comparing it to the books.
Cersei, at the end, making... fuck, what's her name? Making her watch her daughters die. Like, it's just...
Oh, the Sept? Or not the Sept, the...
Their mom.
The wicked... Chick from the
Sand Snake. She it's
Ibrin. Oh, that chick. Yeah.
Mom. Ibrin's girl or whatever.
When she poisons Teen and makes her watch it, like that was like one of those moments where, like, I hate to say it, you kind of rooted for Cersei because let's be real, Myrcella did not fucking deserve to die. No. Like, Myrcella and Tommen were actually, like, good kids.
But Cersei and killed Tommen.
What?
Cersei killed Tommen.
No, Tommen killed Tommen.
Tommen yeeted himself out of a window.
Right, because why?
Because the pressure of ruling was too much for his fragile little mind.
It was that the blowing up of the Septum was the last straw, but he was already at wit's end.
He was like Marjorie's death and Loras's death, like, because again, Loras is probably
more important than Marjorie,
basically.
I mean, Loras is probably dead in the books. We don't know yet, but he dies on Pyke, I believe. Or like that's where he gets burned. We don't know if the Sept is gonna happen.
It's also what he likes.
Ha! Austin made a joke for his return because he's not.
Austin's not returning.
So I thought I was the one returning to the episode, but damn.
But no, I enjoyed the Dorne plot. Like Bronn and Jaime road trip across the country was a fucking bro comedy I didn't know I needed.
Okay, yeah, but I could see that happening in the book. But there's so much stuff in the book that is not going to happen like that. And I understand they know the destination, but they don't know the journey of how to get there. But I think, like, you have the author alive. You can't just call it and be like, hey, read this script.
No, he won't share it. He wrote some of the episodes.
Yeah, that's but the thing they can send him the script, though, and be like, is this okay? And get some type of
knowledge. I honestly think he was involved in all that. So what I think is that the show was George R.R. Martin's outlet. So he can say, okay, the story's finished. If I don't finish the books, I don't finish the books. I don't have to have Brandon Sanderson ghostwrite it. It dies with me.
See, I think he's going to finish both books and release them at the same time. I think that's what the big way he's
been.
That
is so optimistic.
I think...
I think we get one more book. I think we get When's a Winner.
Sanderson's...
No one will finish it. We'll get the She-Wolves of Winterfell, which is the next book in the Night of the Seven Kingdoms. Then we'll get some weird-ass sci-fi thriller that he's been working on in his free time, and then we'll never see anything else from him.
Yeah.
So you don't think Spring of Change or whatever?
Dream of Spring. No. It'll never
Dream
happen.
Dream of Spring, yeah.
It's just never gonna happen. Like, we're too far gone. We've lost the plot. It took, like, when A Dance with Dragons came out, it was 11 years between books. We are now at what, 13 years since A Dance with Dragons came
2011
out?
2011 is when
12 years. No, 13 years. I'm right.
Yeah.
Basic math. I'm great at it. Any more the character problem assassinations I can dunk on?
Dunk, I don't know about dunk.
I've had reasonable arguments for each of them. Who?
Tyrion.
Tyrion Lannister is not a character assassination. It's just no one knows how to write him except George R.R. Martin.
Well, there's also the problem that we don't know what the hell's happening, because right now in the books he's fighting against Dany in Dorne. Sorry, not in Dorne, but in Essos.
If you're gonna say all these events make sense, then season 8 was good to you.
So that's kind of that is the question. That is the topic at hand. Think in a vacuum it's good? I think for TV it was actually really good. Was it a good Game of Thrones season? No. But was it good, like, in a vacuum? Ignore everything else you know. Was the action good? Was, like, if you don't know who Arya is, you're tuning into one episode. Jon's about to get murked by the Night King, and this little girl jumps out of a tree, drops the dagger, stabs him in the chest.
Jon's busy yelling at a dragon. The person about to get murked by the Night King is Bran.
Regardless. Everyone's about to get murked by the Night Queen.
And that's my point. And, like...
It all blends together, but my point is, if you're watching it and you don't know the backstories of these characters, is it not action-y for the Night King about?
But you're gonna have so many questions though if you don't know how to. Because why does that weapon kill, but not any of the other weapons? You're not gonna know it's because it's a Valyrian steel dagger.
I mean, you don't really know that from that episode, though, because you just occasionally see people die. Like, you don't see a White Walker stabbed by... Like, everything they're using there is dragon glass anyway. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, is it as bad as I thought it was? Like, yes. Going back, no. Is it bad for Game of Thrones? Absolutely. But is it good TV? There's a lot worse you could do.
I disagree. What? Okay. On a rating of 1 to 10, in all honesty, what would you give Season 8?
In all honesty, like knowing everything I know and being a fan of a Game of Thrones and A Song of Ice and Fire?
Yeah, not playing Devil's Advocate or anything. Just in all honesty, what would you give? Because I would give it a 4.5 to a 5.
See, that's higher than me. As a whole, I'd give it a 3.5. But as a TV show, I give it like a 7.
So then again, you're around where I'm at then, between both.
Not knowing anything, like, you don't know a damn thing about Game of Thrones. You flip on the TV and you see the Khalasar ride out to meet the army and you see those torches go out. Are you not, thrilled? Are you not, like, excited for what's about to come?
Unless you don't know what's in the forest waiting because you didn't watch.
But here's the thing about making arguments
like that. Here's the thing about making arguments like that. You poo-poo on everything that happened before and everything they built on before.
Okay.
So
okay. Let me.
One of the One of the problems that George has stated in interviews about writing the Winds of Winter and eventually Dream of Spring is how to get all these plot threads that he's put out there.
Yeah, the marine loop.
Finish them and make them loop. Yes, you cannot do that. He said that was a problem with what he was envisioning for the end of the series writing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You cannot then see that problem and say I'm gonna give the final seasons half as many episodes as they gave the first two.
Okay,
season 7 and season 8 bare minimum should have been 20 episodes.
I'm not going to disagree with you that they rushed the season. I'm not going to disagree with you that it is bad for Game of Thrones. All I'm saying is in a vacuum. So like let's do a sports analogy. Let's do a sports analogy. Is a 25-yard touchdown in a game a good stat for a quarterback? Just one?
Not really, no.
Is a 25-yard touchdown pass for a punter in one game good? So in a vacuum, we can say that this both happened in a football game. And we don't give a shit about the punter because it's the quarterback. But if we just isolate that one stat, in context of that one stat, it's okay.
But here's the thing. That's not how that works.
But
you have to have to respect the shit that came before. And you have to respect the universe that you're in. And you cannot respect the universe that you're in and the stuff that came before by deciding to finish up what George R. R. Martin hasn't been able to do in 13 years in 6 episodes.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
What was his original plan? George R. R. Martin's original plan was what? 11 seasons or 12?
Oh, for that?
Oh, 11 or 12 sounds right, actually. I'm not going to lie.
I think that's what he was when they originally talked to him about. I think it was when he was talking about season 2.
And
he
HBO,
said they was talking like 11 and 12.
And HBO and George R. R. Martin approached D&D and said, need more episodes. And they said, no, we're going to Disney. Bye.
Yes.
But
I'm not trying to justify that.
Here's the thing. By you defending this shit, you almost, and I don't know if an average viewer will see it that way, but you almost look like you're defending their decision to just cut bait and leave. When you defend the shit that happened.
No, I mean, I keep saying I don't. All I'm saying is that Game of Thrones' worst episodes are still good TV. That's all I'm saying. Is it good in the context of the story of Game of Thrones? Absolutely not. It's a 1 to a 3 minimum. But in terms of, like, if you just turn it on, it's not as bad as we remember. Is it good storytelling? No, it's rushed.
But why would you turn it on if you don't know the shit before when you're 8 seasons in?
I don't know. I've done that before. I'm just saying.
Oh, I won't.
From a TV standpoint.
If I see something, I will go straight to season 1.
It's not that bad. And again, like I said, like every character assassination you said, I've been able to justify. It's just, it's rushed, so it feels bad. But that's a whole different argument.
Okay.
Should they have filmed? Should they have done more episodes? Yes, abso-fucking-lutely. But they didn't. This is what we get.
Okay, but the character assassination is just my... So you're saying John should have lived through the Battle of Bastards, yes or no?
Storytelling, yes. There's no fucking way he lived through that, though. Like,
okay, should John have lived through the killing of Daenerys?
No.
Just remember, he has a dragon in his face after he kills Daenerys.
Fuck the dragon. No, throw the dragon out of there. He just killed Daenerys. Her Khalasar, her blood riders, who are literally sworn to protect her, are going to rip him apart.
And the army of dickless soldiers who are literally loyal to just her. I'm just asking.
Okay, so from the point of view of the TV show, sure, yeah, that doesn't make sense. But, like, the Unsullied, the dickless soldiers, as you call them,
yeah,
she freed them, but they still have a lifetime of brainwashing that says whoever holds the whippy boy is their leader. Grey Worm.
But did John ever hold it?
No, but, like, I don't think loyalty to them is the same, just because, again, you have a lifetime of brainwashing now.
Then why did they do the whole, like, and granted, it was never spoken, but the nonverbal conflict between Grey Worm and John before that act happened?
Because they're bad at writing.
What was that setting up then?
Because they're bad at writing. I'm not going to say that. I'm at no point defending the writing choices. If you think at any point I'm
saying... But that's part of answering, is season 8 as bad as we remember? Yes, Ren, season 8 was as bad as we remember.
As a episode of the overall series. But you have to remember, like, every other episode prior to that, the worst episode was like a 7.5. Like, the show just hit every time. And then we have a couple that are 3, 4, 5s. And we're like, oh, this is terrible. It's still good TV. It's just not to the standard of the rest of the series. That's what I'm saying. Is it good? No. Is it better than most other shit? Yeah, probably. Because it's still really good.
I will say this in defense of season 8. What is that? I'm going to use Death Note as an example.
I have no defense for season 8. Go on.
Yeah, spoilers for Death Note, if you're... listening.
Death Note is like 15 years old.
Yeah, still gonna call spoilers. It's an amazing show / anime / manga. Go read it. But anyway, after L dies, the show to me and the book was just not as good. So everything after was just meh. So, but that still doesn't mean that I think Death Note is bad.
But here's the thing. Even after they did that, they still respected what came before. Was it as good? No. Was it respectful to what came before? Yes.
But again, they were respectful to what came before. They just rushed it. Again, Daenerys is always going to go mad. Jaime is always probably going to go back to Cersei. That's their
whole thing. You
don't know that.
You don't.
What?
You don't know.
Jaime's going to go back to Cersei?
And die with her, yes. You do not know that. Jaime will go back to Cersei.
I would guarantee it. I would guarantee it.
Okay.
Again, I think Arya kills Cersei while dressed as Jaime.
No.
That's been my speculation for years.
I like.
And here's the thing. He's always acknowledge that they kind of like wrote like wrestling fucking bookers, because let's be real. Arya took some... Arya, that's another reason, but Arya took some major L's. Arya took some major L's, especially at the end of season 5, where she somehow survived the wave. And they left the ending to that so vague that there were people speculating if Arya was actually the wave the whole time. after that, what does Arya get to do? Arya gets to destroy a house completely. Arya gets to kill the Night King. Arya almost gets to kill Cersei. And Arya, like, if you want to tell me Arya at the end of season 8 is the strongest fighter in Westeros, I might not disagree with you. I'm not going to lie.
She probably is.
In the show, absolutely. Yeah. So part of the problem with the show is it did get to an anime level of fan service. Because, like, Arya is an assassin. She's not a warrior. Like, that's, like, the whole premise of it. And, like, to be fair, even in the books, it does kind of portray the Faceless Men as kind of gods. Because, like, when she gives Jaqen the names and he kills everyone, like, it's kind of ridiculous, like, to think about. Because, again, this isn't Lord of the Rings where the characters have plot armor. Like, everyone is fragile. Like, anyone can die.
Arya kind of did have plot armor, especially...
Yeah, Arya 100% had plot armor.
But again, go back to Harrenhal when Jaqen kills every fucking person there.
But here's
the plot armor for the Faceless Man... No, the plot armor for the Faceless Man exists from the outset of the introduction of the Faceless Men. That's a show thing.
So... Why?
Period. End of discussion.
Time out. I got a question then. So why then did a blind, injured Arya beat one of them with the tactic of turning the lights out if these people are so skilled and trained and godlike?
Especially one of their assassins.
It's probably just because armor. She's... I mean, you can call it plot armor, you can call it a Mary Sue complex, you can call it a lot of things. From a storytelling standpoint, it kind of would be defeating the purpose if one of your main characters died. Like, again, we talked about it in this episode, like, if we all, at the start of this episode, if I just said, oh yeah, it's terrible, and we all just say it's terrible, okay, moving on. Like, there's no conversation. Like, this has been a good episode, because there's contention.
I understand that, but...
From a storytelling standpoint,
could you not have Arya be blind, have a major injury, and still win against gods, basically, that you just described?
But she's technically she have also some advantage? One of them. She's been through the training.
Exactly, but she's facing the one of them. So and why does she have to have all the disadvantages and win?
And she's facing the one in the show that trained her.
Because it's an obstacle to overcome. If there's not an obstacle, again, like... If we don't see her progression as a character and as a assassin and being able to overcome one of these people, it's less believable if she's just like, oh, thanks, Jaqen, for telling me how to stab him with the pointy end. I'm going to go stab him with the pointy end, and then she's an assassin. Like, it makes more sense to see her struggling with it and overcoming it from a storytelling standpoint.
But you purposely cut out all the things that show her struggling with it. Like, Mercy. You cut out that. You cut out the Cat in the Canals. You cut out Blind Beth.
Cat in the Canals was partially
in it. It was partially there, but you cut it out. You know what I mean? You cut out all the struggle that she went through.
But, okay, so Wheel of Time is one of the inspirations for A Song of Ice and Fire. George R. R. Martin actually references it a few times. There's a house called House Jordan, and its leader is Trevor, which backwards is Robert. Robert Jordan was the author of The Wheel of Time. Long way of saying, The Wheel of Time is 17 books long at this point, because there was a prequel and blah, 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 and they're all, like, massive books. Wheel of Time premiered on Amazon Prime 2 years ago as a TV show. We're in the second season. People are pissed because they think their 18-book series of over 1,000 pages can fit into a TV show without the actors getting to the age of, like, 90 when they start at 15. It's not possible. You have to condense shit for the television medium. It's just going to happen.
It's like, fine to condense.
So they have Cat in the Canals, but you can condense important things down to smaller things that are just as important.
You have the what's probably going to be the assassination of, what was that King's Guard that she hated? I can't think his name. The one she killed.
Manderly?
No.
Not Emery Lorch.
No. The one that she kills in the show. You know who I'm talking about. And everybody here knows who I'm talking about. The one she slits her throat.
Not Meryl.
Marin Trant.
Marin Trant, there it is. I knew Marin it was Trant.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so she kills him in the show. Okay, so that right there is almost exactly what happens in the Mercy of from the Wings Winds of Winter. If you've read the
yeah,
it's almost exactly what happens. So that happens during the Mercy chapter. So you're combining the Cat in the Canals and the Mercy chapter.
Yeah.
Yep. You give us a very slight look at Blind Beth, and then it's just like, oh, here's a reference. You remember when this was in the book?
Right, but that's, you have to just reference those things, and then you have to suspend your disbelief, because again, Arya being Arya doesn't make sense if Maisie is 33 years old, because it took us 5 years to film her chapters.
Yeah, but look at her now. Like, she still looks like she could pull off a 14-15. Sansa? Maybe. I see your thought for Sansa.
But you also have to factor it, like, this is a person. Like, Maisie is a person. Do you think she wants to be filming Arya for 20 years of her life?
Well,
it's
I don't know.
Like,
after
you do
the
your best.
Bad luck she's had after Game of Thrones, she might want to run back to it.
Because she's going to be typecasted for a while. But, like, look at, like, Daniel Radcliffe and Harry Potter. Like, he was typecast for a while. He did his own thing, and now he's a respected actor in other forms.
Yeah, but there's also people out there
who always see him as Harry Potter. Like, it's just a thing.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say there's people out there like Leonard Nimoy who will always just be Spock to no matter who they talk to.
He, like, that was a show where they invested all that time. And, you know, these actors don't want to do this for that long. Like, yeah, they love these characters because they are these characters, but it's disrespectful to be like, oh, they need to dedicate the rest of their lives to filming because they're still going to look like it in 20 years.
Oh, no, I'm saying give us the 11, 12 seasons that they was wanting.
So
I'm not saying give us...
to do that. So if you want to do that, I'm totally on board with, like, an animated series. Like, if you did an animated series, you could actually give it the time it deserves. But in terms of a real-life series with real-life actors who are real-life aging...
Yeah.
You have time constraints. You have to condense shit down.
And like, I don't see why we don't get something like that.
Like, it's better to see her have the rush training and
then no training
out and be absolutely decimated. And how the fuck is she going to survive? And then she remembers to stick him with the pointy end. And that's what she does. And it works. And okay, she's an assassin now. Like,
yeah,
you have to
suspend
your disbelief that that is possible, because it has to be within the universe of the show.
I don't know. It's just something about her. Like, I guess maybe it's because she's my favorite character, and as she is a lot of people's favorite character. But it's just, I don't know. I just felt like they did her dirty. At the same time, they also gave her super plot armor and made her too good. Because her being able to take out all of House Frey by herself is ridiculous.
That's established in the show, though.
That's kind of makes
sense. Yeah, the way she did it was kind of neat, but it was still ridiculous. Even if she was dressed as,
it's established in the show already.
I think the thing that was ridiculous of it is we pan to a scene with Arya, and then we don't see her ever again, and then the reveal.
That was set in the show. Like, Jaqen already did that.
That's fair.
So, like, if we're going to have a problem with that, we have to go back and have a problem with it then, which, again, it's a show. It works. Like, do I think that should have happened? No, because, again, the thing about A Song of Ice and Fire is everyone is fragile and human, and nobody has massive amounts of plot armor. Even though they do, because... Even in the books, like, half the time Daenerys should be dead, or Jon should be dead, or Jaime should be dead, but they're the characters. And it's not a good book if your character dies.
But see, why can't it be?
Because, like, you lose the story. Like, if Jon dies 30 minutes on the wall, you don't have Jon's story. Like,
yeah, but I'm saying, okay, if you take out, let's use Dorne, for example, as the show obviously proved, even though you said you like it. If you take out Dorne, what changes in the show?
Absolutely. Well, we don't know, because we don't have the books yet to know.
I said in the show. In the show.
No,
take
but
out
I'm
Dorne
saying...
from the show. What happens?
Tyrion has to find someone else to face the mountain.
So, no, like, there's a lot that changes, so...
So, let's say after Robert's Rebellion, they go down, and for some reason, they slaughter
him. You just eliminate the equation. Yeah. Just in the show, what changes?
Yeah, absolutely nothing.
But what changes in the books?
A lot. But that's what
nothing
I'm saying.
So, nothing so far. Dorne is playing a long game. Dorne is playing a long game. Nothing to this point has changed in the books. And honestly, like, just
isn't
based on how...
trying to woo Daenerys in the books?
Yeah.
But, like, everyone is. Like, on it, like, Fagon
well,
being
to be fair, we think that the guy that was sent to woo him is dead. We're pretty sure he got burned up by dragon.
Fagon, well, yeah. That, I mean, that happened. But Fagon is more important to the books than Dorne at this point.
Yeah, and we didn't even get Fagon.
We didn't get Fagon. So if we're going to make an argument, let's make that. Like, Dorne at least got screwed.
Oh, I was going to Fagon, make the argument. I was just going to wait to the... Because I don't think he was a character assassination.
Fagon doesn't even really matter. Because the whole point of Fagon is, hilariously, a Shaggy Dog story. It's something to distract you and be like, haha, there's a secret Targaryen, but he's going to be a Blackfyre. Like, that we know that.
Yeah.
Like...
In fact, so, I'm pretty sure he's point, going to have Blackfyre.
So, the point of all these things in the book is to have filler, because, again, like, while there's people like us that love the Blacks and the Greens and A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, a lot of people don't like picking up books of only, like, 127 pages. You do have to have a little bit of filler to set things up later. And the reveal of Jon being a Targaryen is going to be a lot more heavy with the hit of Fagon. In the show, you have that already because you have a more universal personal connection with the character of Jon Snow, and then to learn that he's actually Aegon Targaryen and not Jon Snow, it's like a slap in the face. Whereas in the books, you need that subtlety. But no, we spent a lot of time on this subject.
We did.
Yeah, I think my hour and 12 minutes comment was way overdue, considering I think we've been at this for well almost over an hour.
We've actually been at this for an hour 10.
Okay, so let's...
let's start wrapping it up then, so I can be right.
let's shift. This one will be a little bit quicker. What do you guys think the future of the franchise? Because we know HBO and we know George R. R. Martin want to keep expanding this universe. We saw it with House of the Dragon, which has been phenomenal. I don't think it's been as good as the main series, but it's been good.
If you compare it to season 8, it's been better.
Do you want to go back to season 8?
Season 8, the shit I took was better.
We know about the Jon Snow sequel that is currently dead in the water, but I don't know if it will be. And we know that they're going to...
Let's go. I'm going to go back to...
Isn't there a possible Maisie Williams too?
Yeah.
Here's the reason why it's impossible to get a Jon Snow sequel. What's John gonna do?
That's a great question, and that's probably why they dropped it.
Exactly.
I don't know why you're asking me to justify it. I'm not the shareholder.
As Ren pointed out, though, off mic, so this is something that we was talking about the other day, is that there's no reason for the wall to be there after the Night King dies. So, him ending beyond the wall, there's nothing to do. But except maybe show him get married and have a kid.
Which he can't do on the Night's Watch anyway, but
yeah.
It should be like, if they're gonna do a Jon Snow, they need to just do a sequel series where like we follow all the Stark children and just like wrap up there. We get to see Arya exploring the world, we get to see Jon exploring the lands of Always Winter, which people have not done for a millennia because, you know,
the lands of normal weather,
lands of normal winter. And, like, who knows? There could be something else they could come up with that's out there. Like, maybe the Children of the Forest are there, and holy shit, they were actually crazy the whole time, and they're actually the bad guys, and they made the Night King, and god damn it, we could go on forever.
I don't know. That's true.
What I would like to see is something more about Essos.
So, the problem is Essos is very generic high fantasy, and I hate that about it, because, like, what Essos became, if you've read World of Ice and Fire, is it's like an amalgamation of a bunch of different subcultures. Like, you get to like Yenkai and it's like fucking like Japanese dynasty armors and shit.
Yeah.
And like all of like Essos is just a bunch of different cultures melded
into one.
But, like, it's done in a way that doesn't feel natural. And I, like, I would love to go, like, east of Essos, but, like, I don't need to, like...
Well, see, I want to see what, Melisandre, what is it, where her temple's at?
I mean, since they're all for ruining the shadow. The shit I love...
Yeah, I want to see somewhere like that, or somewhere like, Old Valyria. Like, I know we got a little taste of it.
Hold on. That's what I was going with. They should go and figure out an answer why Valyria is the way it
Angelo,
is.
Angelo, so we know ruin the things you love. What am I ruining? Let's go.
No, I'm saying if HBO wants to go and ruin the things I love.
I will financially support them. What are they ruining?
Wow. This guy.
Come on, what are they ruining? So Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, for sure, that has to be a thing. And we know it's kind of in pre-production, but who knows if it'll actually come to fruition. There's been rumors, because they're redoing Lord of the Rings. There's been rumors that they might start already redoing Game of Thrones. I don't think that's very smart, because it's only a few years old at this point.
I think that's eventual, and I agree with you. I don't think that's smart. I think that if they want to do it, I heard there was a rumor they're doing Aegon's Conquest, which you seem not to be a fan of.
I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of Robert's Rebellion.
See Robert's Rebellion. That's something personally.
If they were going to do Robert's Rebellion, they needed to do it. So how I would have done the show if I was the show writer for Game of Thrones instead of D&D is when Bran becomes the Three-Eyed Raven, okay, that's the end of the season. We're ending the season there. He opens his eyes, they're white, right?
Yep.
A few months later, we release a mini-season. It's 3 to 4 episodes of Bran looking through history. And he gets to Robert's Rebellion, and we watch Robert's Rebellion. Like, it's a normal show, but the thought...
But we're seeing it through Bran's eyes.
And it ends at the Tower of Joy, and then we see Rhaegar and Lyanna's wedding, and then it jumps into season 7, or whatever it was, where we get to Jon reawakening. That's how I would have done it, because you have to preserve that, because Robert's Rebellion, if you know Lyanna's not kidnapped, and you know Lyanna married Rhaegar, and you know that Jon is her son... It's not as interesting. It's just a bunch of dudes fighting. And yeah, that's cool action, but knowing all that, like, if you were to, like, release, and I know they kind of did it with the prequel trilogy in Star Wars, but, like, if you were to re-release Star Wars and you're trying to bank on the fact that Vader's this big evil, like, you know Vader is Luke's dad. Like, that reveal has already sailed. Like, you already know that. Robert's Rebellion, knowing that Lyanna went willingly with Rhaegar, is way less interesting. It's just action for the sake of action.
Isn't that the whole point of you justifying Season 8's existence?
No, because I think Season 8 does good in other ways. I think there's some survival horror elements to it. I think that Season 8 as a whole is not as bad as we make it out to be. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's not as bad.
Survival horror fan, I will tell you, it does have its moments, as you said, like the flames going out. But you have some cool moments, like Melisandre lighting their Arrakis, or whatever their swords was called, and the just
Pod
shock
singing.
On their face.
Pod singing.
Pod singing.
The
it has
emotional connection of Jenny of Old Stones. To this day,
There's
I will...
Start I am. How did Melisandre die in the show? I don't even remember now.
Didn't she take the amulet off and then just kind of old aged herself to death?
Yeah.
No.
She basically just said, "All right, y'all, I'm out."
Yeah, which I think because she should have been killed by Davos.
Because she thought the Lord of Light abandoned her. And I mean, he did. He didn't. Like, in her mind, everything failed. It was not real. It was imaginary, or whatever the case may be. I mean, that makes perfect sense. Like, if someone that's heavily religious is given proof of their religion not existing, like, some of them become suicidal. Like, that's completely believable. She just kind of nopes out of the world. She does it on her own terms.
She hit believable. The eject button.
She hit the eject button.
Technically, she hit the fast forward button because she just super aged herself.
super quick. Well, that was how old she was all the time. The gem just hit it.
Well, yeah, but it was also keeping her alive, though, too, wasn't
it? Yeah. So well, anyway, we don't really know, like, what the hell was going on.
So, exactly. The season 8, you don't have to know what the hell's going on. So,
things made up, and the points don't matter.
Ren will make sense of the writing later.
I would like, at any point in time, has anything I've said about, like, as character, like, in your character assassinations, or Melisandre just now, is anything I've said actually objectifiably wrong?
No, because I'm sure there's someone out there feels like that. And I'm not going to tell them if their point of view is wrong just because I have a different point of view. It's not wrong. It's all about enjoying it. And watch what you enjoy.
Well, yeah, watch what you enjoy. But, like, when we talk about Daenerys's character, like, we know that's how her character... Like, we know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe not to that extreme. Like, when I say that the parallels between her and Cersei, like, that's objective. That's not a subjective thing. That's... The show just did a bad job of not portraying her as Dragon Jesus, but her character... If anything, it wasn't a character assassination. It was a character realization. Jaime going back to Cersei, like, we have hints of that in the book. Like, they're always going to be connected. They both say that repeatedly. So him going back to Cersei and them dying immediately, I don't think they're going to die immediately, but Jaime going back to Cersei completely fits Jaime's character, even with his redemption arc. John not wanting to rule fits John's character. Like, that's...
A queen.
There's subjective and objective, and that's what I'm asking, is if anything I'm saying is objectively wrong, and it's not.
I don't want it. Anyway,
Angelo can't answer that.
Future of Game of Thrones.
Love it.
The future of Game of Thrones needs to... We don't need to do any more with the main line. Right now, we don't.
I think you could, like, events happening, like, during...
If you want to do a spinoff with Arya going west to Westeros, sure. You want to do a spinoff with Jon going to the Winds of Winter, sure.
No.
But I'm fine with stuff like that, but don't... I don't want to see no more in Westeros. I don't want to see no more in the North. Let's show the rest of the world. Let the world building that has already been prominent in all the books be there.
It depends, because... Duncan is kind of the best character in any of the books. So, like, I want that.
That's
Westeros.
Yeah, but it's not part of the main story.
I mean, it is. It's only a generation before, or two generations before.
Yeah, but it's not part of what we know as the main story. The main timeline starts with Game of Thrones episode 1 and ends with season 8, episode 6, or whatever.
Does it end with Aegon saying, "I don't want it," after he gets appointed king?
No, it ends with Aegon
drinking fire.
To death.
Oh, wait, no, he doesn't drink fire.
He doesn't drink fire.
Yeah,
they just try to hatch eggs, and they burn down Summerhall.
I was thinking of the one in King's Landing, drunk fire.
Arion Bright Flame.
Yep.
That's his brother.
Yeah, as George Lucas likes to say, it's like poetry. That's why they died together. Or not together, but the same.
He drank wildfire thinking he was going to become a dragon. Weirdly, that's also why Aerys wanted to blow up King's Landing, because he thought if everyone died in dragonfire or in wildfire, he would emerge as a dragon. That's that Targaryen madness. They just think if they walk into fire, they'll be fine. Weird how that happened.
I mean Dragon Jesus was 100% fine. Also, real quick thing, talking about John in season 1, is he supposed to be fire resistant too, or is it just
so they're not. None of them are fire resistant. None of them are fire resistant
in the show. There, that's why the dragon didn't spit fire at John, because it didn't think he'd kill him.
That's a one time thing. It was blood magic, not fire magic.
But then he does it twice in the show.
Well,
yeah, he doesn't do it twice in the show.
When does she do it the second time?
She does it with
bags.
Yeah, when she kills the calls.
I'm gonna have to rewatch it. I don't recall that at all. I just remember
the
tent.
She kills the calls. Yeah, the tent. She burns down the tent and walks out.
Oh, yeah, that's blood magic. That one's blood magic. When's the other time?
Drogo's funeral?
Nothing happens.
There's Drogo's funeral, and then there's the one with the calls in the tent.
Not only that, don't you recall her saying after Viserys dies, fire can't kill a dragon?
Yeah, that's misguided. That's supposed to just be blood magic. It's a one-time thing. That was in George R. R. Martin's notes.
Well, it happens twice in the show. That's why I was... Well, I can send you the episode after this if you want to.
Yeah, send the episode, because I don't remember that. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't...
Oh, yeah, I know.
Two times. I just remember one. But if they're both in a tent, I'm just transposing two memories.
No. One is outside on the beach after Drogo's funeral. She dies and... Or she walks into the fire and when she sets him on fire. Then the
and
other
that's
one
when
is in
the eggs hatch.
Yeah, and then the other one is in the tent with all the calls sitting around. When she walks over and pushes over the little, like, lecterns brazier. Or whatever they're... Brazier, yeah.
I'll have to watch it. But, yeah, because the time with
Drogo
is blood magic, not fire magic.
Okay, because I was going to say, because if she is resistant and all Targaryens are supposed to be resistant to fire, then that messes with the whole backstory.
I mean, if the Targaryens were fire resistant, the Dance of Dragons wouldn't have been deadly because they killed each other with fire. That was
some of them got eight. Some of them got eight by dragons.
True. But no, the Targaryens are not fire resistant. They're used to heat, but like to the extent that like, oh, it's hot out. No, it's not. Like a northerner going to the south, like.
So that's what I was going to point out is because in season one, when he's saving the Mormont, I can't think of his name.
Jorah?
No, not Jorah, his dad. Jorah's dad.
Gior.
Yeah, Gior. When he's saving him in the show, he grabs a lantern and, you know, he goes, ah, hot. And it just never made sense to me that if he's supposed to be fire resistant, according to the show, why did he say hot? He should have grabbed it and been like, I don't feel nothing.
I think it's mostly just storytelling, but what else you guys got? Because we're now at the free talk point. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Apparently, everyone else is not talking.
Austin. First off, Austin talked once.
Austin hasn't been here this entire episode.
Don't say everyone else. Say Angelo. Angelo is not talking because Austin doesn't exist right now. Fuck you.
Austin's
you don't exist.
Told you guys before we did this, he wasn't going to talk much.
Yeah, Austin's just here for the memes.
So talk much meant one time.
So to be fair, Austin is not like versed in. Like he's seen the show, but he's not he's not ingrained in it as the rest of us. He's just here to be here. And, like, Austin's
I'm here to keep the peace.
You know what? Okay, Ren. I've heard you, like, justify Season 8.
Yeah.
Fix Season 8. What would you change? Let's say D&D tells you got 6 episodes. How you do it? I don't think it's possible. Yep.
It's not. That's the problem. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, to fix it, you have to go to the start. You have to start completely over, and you cannot do that. Or you have to, the only other option is to go like, all right, guys, we're in season 8. I know we've been saying the Night King is coming, winter is coming, but 20 more episodes of filler so we can kind of branch these characters into who they're supposed to be. It's not possible.
Okay, so I'm going to shout out a YouTuber I watch here. Preston Jacobs, he has a entire series called Fixing Season 8. I highly suggest you go watch it because
it
is.
I'll check it out. There's no way to do it.
His whole thing is he starts exactly where Season 8 starts, and he has to end exactly where Season 8 ends in the same way. And
the problem is how Season 8 ends.
I know, but he fixes it to a way where it makes more understanding to the book viewers, but the TV show viewers wouldn't understand what's going on. So I understand why.
The only way to fix it is to go back in time and be like, okay, Dany is a troubled young girl. No, she's a troubled young girl. She's not crazy. She's just troubled. She struggles. And she keeps thinking she's doing the right thing. And every time she does something, it goes wrong. And she keeps reacting to it in an extreme way and just progresses and progresses and progresses and progresses. And eventually, she's going to get to King's Landing. John's going to negotiate a way for this to settle, to be peaceful. And she's going to snap because she realizes that the people don't want her. And so she's going to kill them. That's going to happen. That is a great story. That is how it should go. They didn't do that. There's no way to get there without her just hearing the bells. And honestly, if you're going to progressively make her crazy in season 8, like, it's going to feel forced. Instead, like, having that snapping moment.
When did they ever make the bells a sign of, like, we're giving up? Ever.
I don't
know. It wasn't. It was a sign of victory. Because if you remember, I think it's during the Battle of the Blackwater, where after they say, ring the bells for the victory.
But I think bells in general just means fighting's done. Stop the fighting, one way or the other. Okay. I think that just means commanders, we're done. Like, either way.
Anything after this will be a war crime.
Right. And regardless, like, it makes more sense to just have that moment just snap her. It makes more sense than trying to force her into character progression that should have taken 7 seasons into 6 episodes. So I don't have a problem with that happening that way. Okay. If you're going to do it that way,
you can't fix Danny. Okay.
John, check. Again, I think John, like, that's John's character. I don't want it. He doesn't want it. He's never wanted it. Like, that's John's character. Nothing changed there.
You don't change anything. Okay.
I don't change anything. Arya, I don't have Arya kill the Night King because, again, prophecy and A Song of Ice and Fire is not meant to be direct. I would rather have Jon kill the Night King for the storytelling portion of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But again, I, even though I'm saying that, and even though I don't think Arya should have killed the Night King, you can't deny it. What, like, again, ignore everything else. Ignore everything else. Was it badass? Just on a badass scale. Just no, Angelo. I'm asking you, on a badass scale, is it a 1 or a 10? Ignoring the story.
Ren.
Angelo, answer the goddamn question.
Ren.
5.
It's higher than a 5. She jumps out of a tree. He catches her by the throat without looking at her, and then she says, oh yeah, fuck you, and drops the knife and catches it with her other hand.
First of all, she doesn't jump out of a tree. She somehow magically dashes past multiple White Walkers. No, watch the scene before. There's a White Walker standing there, and his hair blows, and he turns and looks. She runs past him at, like, flash speed. It is ridiculous. That's why I hated it.
It's out of a tree. She's out of a tree. Like, that's how it starts.
It's
Angelo.
It's
ignore
dumb.
The it's entire dumb. Rest
I
of the
can't
show.
Ignore the rest
no,
of it.
No, no. I'm asking you. I'm asking you to ignore every other thing about game. Ignore the first 8 seasons. Ignore everything
else.
Oh
my god.
No. I'm saying you are browsing the internet and you've never heard of Game of Thrones in your life, and you come across a GIF. And she jumps out, and he grabs her, and then she drops the knife, catches it with the other hand, and stabs him. That's what I'm asking. Is that badass? Yes, it is. It's badass.
No, no, because we saw the exact same thing happen.
In Star Wars, absolutely.
No, I mean, in Game of Thrones. Isn't there another fight scene where she does the exact same thing?
I mean, if it works, it works. Fuck it.
Like, if it works.
If it that means it worked twice, 100% success rate. Keep doing it. That's how she
is
should fight from now on.
This episode, Ren says he wouldn't change a thing about season 8.
If you want to make it up, you guys have anything
that's
else?
The title. That's the title. That's the title.
We're running on.
I make it. Yeah, we're at 2 hours. I think we're good.
Well, if you like what we do here, or if you like this episode because you're listening to it this far, let us know. Like I said, this is kind of a pilot. We're going to kind of explore this medium more. But if you do like what we do here and you haven't already, what are you doing? Follow us on whatever podcatcher you're listening to us on. Comment, subscribe, like, leave us a review. Leave us an honest review. Don't just give us 5-star because you like us. Give us a 3-star review if you think Angelo needs to stop yelling. Follow us on socials at No Reserves. If this is your first episode with us, which I guess is possible because you might not like sports, Angelo, Austin, and I host a weekly Sunday 6 a.m. basketball podcast. Angelo and another of our co-hosts, Alex, host every Thursday a football podcast and occasionally Tuesday once the season starts.
Should I even give Austin credit for being part of this episode?
He was here. He was here.
He was here in spirit.
Adam is one of our original co-hosts on the basketball podcast. He'll probably be popping in depending on the content, I would assume. This is going to be kind of all over the place when we release these episodes. I'm not going to tell you we're going to release them regularly. I'm not going to release them even monthly. I don't know how we're going to do this, but I think this was pretty fun. I think this was good content. So I would like to keep doing this.
Better than thought it was going to be.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So let us know if you like this or if you don't like this. Let us know. We will kind of listen.
Yeah, give us some type of criticism so we can improve for the next episode.
Every day. But regardless, we will continue doing this until you tell us to stop. And I'm not going to even tell you what the next episode's going to be about because I don't know. But I feel like we're going to have another Game of Thrones episode at some point. Well, no, I mean... the next episode of No Reserves Pop Culture.
I mean, we could do something like House of Dragons and Blacks and the Greens.
I feel like we'll do another episode of this, but like there's so much. Like it's movies.
So much pop culture.
There's so much pop culture. It could be anything. And Austin and I can do a goddamn Disney episode and we can probably rant about it for hours. And you know, that'll probably happen. Fuck it. We will get sued by Disney for dropping so many F-bombs.
You guys could do that.
Wait till after Deadpool comes out. Then you'll
We're going to get sued so fast. That's what Austin just said. So, yeah. Join us on Sundays for basketball, Thursdays for football, and intermittently for pop culture. Because this took, for me, I don't know about y'all, but I put a lot more effort into this, like, research-wise. Yeah. Because, like, when it comes to basketball, like, I'm looking at basketball stats all the goddamn time. Like, I don't have to necessarily, think about that. Like, this, I haven't read this book series in 3 years. So, like, I had to go back and, like, remember shit and, like, watch clips from the show. And, like, I probably put more effort into this than I have in a basketball episode in a while. Because, again, like...
I'm just going to admit that. You know what? I'm going to give everyone their flowers. I personally, in the last 2 days, have spent 8 hours in this recording studio. Ren has spent at least 5, and Austin at least 5. You know, tip of the hat to you guys. Good job. You guys
this is exhausting.
It's definitely been exhausting. we made it. We did it. Tip of that.
Feedback right now. We're doing live feedback. Next time, we're not recording this back-to-back. Fuck you. I'm not doing it again. We will pick another recording day for pop culture.
Agreed.
That's fine.
Because that was rough.
That was your idea. I'm the one who said, like, we need to dedicate 6 hours. You're like, oh, we're not going to do 6 hours.
No, we're at the five-hour mark. No, because I thought, we were starting at, like, 1. Like, that's what I thought. And then you were like, no, we're starting after 3. And then we didn't start till 4. And now it's 8 fucking p.m.
Yeah.
And we've been sitting here because we got into the recording studio like an hour before we started recording the basketball podcast. And we have been sitting here. We took a 15-minute bathroom break in between episodes. And this is a little bit of a, like, we've already ended the episode. This is a little bit of extra credit for those of you that are still sticking around, which, again, why are you here? But I love you for it.
We all love and appreciate you for this.
Absolutely. But no, next time we're not doing it back to back like this.
No, we need a dedicated recording day, like Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll figure it out because we need to like make a list of like what we want to talk about so we have time and like get everyone involved. Absolutely. And like plan it and go from there. But hey, I'm ab- about to pee my pants. So thank you guys for tuning in this week. We will see you on Sunday to Thursday and occasionally Tuesday. Love you. Bye.
See you guys.